This is Soulful Living on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Terry Williams.
Hey, wherever you are in the world today, I welcome you to another 30 minutes of Soulful Living here at Empower Radio. So if you're on social media, if you're online, I have no doubt that you have heard the terminology divine feminine. I ask myself often, what does that really mean to me? Well, something came across my desk a few weeks ago that helped bring a greater sense of enlightenment to me. The Divine Feminine Oracle Guidebook. This deck is not just absolutely stunning, but helps you really tune in with the divine feminine that has been present forever, that was really never talked about. My guest, Megan Watterson, she talks about it. She talks about it. She shares it. She leads it. She lives it. And she's here today to inspire us to learn more about the divine feminine and how we can incorporate the beauty and the magic of that divine feminine into our own lives. So welcome to Soulful Living, Megan.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh my God, you're so welcome. You know, I could have done the due diligence of reading your bio, you know, author, meditation teacher. Something that I found really fascinating was that you went back and you got 2 degrees and you did these pilgrimages on the way so that you could really find out information about yourself. So before we dive into the Divine Feminine Oracle, I'd love for you to give the listeners a little bit of history on your journey.
Well, so for me, it began as a little girl when I was in church and sort of looking around at everybody else and wondering why others weren't upset with the idea or the fact that God was only being referred to as the Father and the Son. This to me just didn't make any sense. You know, it's great, the idea that God's the Father, but if God was a father, God would also have to be a mother, right? If God's love, if God's ultimately, if we are an expression of the divine, right, then it wouldn't make sense if only a half of us, you know, a half of what makes that picture complete is represented in the divine.
Right.
Didn't make sense to me. And I didn't know how to articulate it at the time, other than to break out in hives and, you know, get upset and just run out of church. And so that's what happened. And I never went back, but that day sort of sealed for me. It sort of sent me on a mission to understand, well, where is the mother? Where is the daughter? Where are the expressions of God or the sacred or the divine that complete the picture, right? Mm-hmm. That like represent a totality of what it means to be human. And so I spent my, you know, teenage years studying about mystics, female mystics and gurus. And I just was completely fascinated by how many women throughout history had tried to embody their idea of what it meant to be in direct connection to the divine. That idea really blew me away, that we might be able to be human, but directly connected to the divine. So that passion and that curiosity was just like a straight arrow. And I decided to focus all of my college studies on women's studies. So, you know, focusing on history, like history is not object, like there isn't like an empirical objective truth to what happened ever, you know, for anything. Like,
right.
When you go back with a certain lens, you're looking for the stories that have been buried or forgotten. And for me, it was a feminist lens. I was looking for, where are the voices of women in these different religions, in these different time periods? Where did they go? Because I know they existed, right? Like, we're half of the population. It's not that we were ever silent or didn't participate in this aspect of the human experience, which is to connect to the divine. So I just wanted to, like an archaeologist, dig for these stories, dig for these voices, find these images. And that led me to a degree in theology at Harvard, where I was able to do a comparative study and look at the divine feminine in all the various world religions, which was such an absolute, that still is like a diamond in my life, that time period. Because for me, what ended up happening was that in finding all of these voices and stories of women throughout history that sought to embody the divine feminine, I found my own voice. And that was part of what compelled me to go on. You mentioned the pilgrimages. So for me, studying the divine compels you to also experience it directly, right? It can't just be cerebral and theoretical and, you know, like a sacred text is only sacred as deeply as you allow yourself to experience it, right?
Like, yes, it's like it has to become a breathing, living part of everything that you are.
Exactly. Exactly. So as you pray, so you walk. It yes. had to have that kind of authenticity and integrity for me. And so as I was studying these, you know, incredible stories of the divine feminine, I also went on pilgrimages to sacred sites in the world of first the Black Madonna and then Mary Magdalene and Isis and these other goddesses and human women who sought to embody the divine feminine in their lifetime. I went to sacred places in the world where they are felt and received and experienced more directly.
And along the way, you found some hidden gems, you know, like, so I picked up the Divine Feminine Oracle deck, and the first card that after I shuffled was Mary Magdalene. First card that came to me. But then you found some hidden gems. You talked about Pope Joan. She was one of the cards that came out, and I'm like, who is this? And how come I have never heard of her?
I know. It's so amazing.
Yeah,
she was an actual figure. She's actually the reason why there's this chair, this wooden chair with a hole carved out in the center of it that subsequent popes after her would have to sit in to confirm their sex before they would be made pope. Because
I read that and I got a visual around that and I'm like, are you kidding me that this is still something that was in existence? How is that even a thing?
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Well, and it also expands our minds to think, well, if there's a precedence for it, you know, it just crashes that glass ceiling and allows us to understand, like, wait, okay, yeah, why has there only ever been a male pope? Why isn't it also, you know, women look great in red. Why aren't they also cardinals? You know, like, why is that a solely a male authoritarian position? Is that really right? And why, if it is, why? You know, so I just love her and what she, you know, allows us to begin to question and think, like, even if it's just, if that feels threatening or, you know, heretical, you know, it's still so exciting that that's actually a real legend that many Christians believe really existed and really happened. So, you know, it's so important to recover this part of our history. This is a huge emphasis in the Oracle is this idea of a legacy of love, right? That these women represent. Like, for example, in Hedawana, talk about a hidden gem. She is the first known author in all of human history, all recorded human history. She was alive 4,200 BC. Like, it's hard to even wrap our heads around that, you know?
Yes.
Where her hymns to the goddess Inanna were more replicated than the inscriptions of kings. So that's basically like a New York Times version, you know, that was like a New York Times bestseller in ancient Mesopotamia. Like, to have that many copies of her hymns was like, you know, it was like having a Bible, what it is now, you know, and right. The cadence, the poetry that she created, the cadence of it inspired the Old Testament and the Homeric epics. So it's like, it's hard to even wrap our head around. I mean, especially as a writer, a female writer, for me to come across that history, I just was sort of like, you know what? I want every little girl born to this world who wants to write and might question her voice as a writer. I want her to know that actually, you know what? The first writer in human history was a woman. So go for it.
Right. But it was buried deep. You know, when you look back in history, how often did women change their names to that of a man's so that they could have their writings published?
Right. Curiel Bell. Yeah. Jane Eyre. Charlotte Bronte changed her name to Curiel Bell because women authors weren't taken seriously.
Exactly. Well, and it's only been the last, you know, within the last century, let's say, that women were becoming, and becoming part of the higher, you know, rankings of, let's say, the Jewish religion and the Episcopalian religion.
Right.
You know, a few years ago, the head of the Episcopalian Church was a lesbian woman. That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
But that wouldn't have happened 150 years ago.
Right. Right. And something that for me was so fascinating in the second degree that I got, which was my divinity degree. I went back to seminary for 3 years to focus on Christianity in particular. But what's so interesting is that that first couple hundred years right after the Christ event, that was far more radical than any Christianity we've ever seen since, because the Christianity we know of now was formed in the 4th century when church fathers decided that women weren't going to be a part of the church and or a part of the church hierarchy. But before that, the hundreds of years after Christ, it was radically inclusive of women. And there are amazing stories of these deaconesses and prophetesses like Thecla. Thecla is one of the oracle cards. Thecla was a first century Turkish teenager who decided to devote her life to Christ. And she went ahead and baptized herself. You know, she didn't wait for Paul to baptize her. She baptized herself. And she lived a life saying that we have to save ourselves, that salvation, that love, that unconditional life love that Christ incarnated and embodied, that is what we are all capable of experiencing and of living. Mm-hmm. And so, and that was like so radical and so amazing. And the Acts of Paul and Thecla is some of the oldest Christian scripture that we have, but it wasn't included in what's considered the canon, you know, which was decided in the 4th century. But scripture like that is now coming more to light because of scholars like feminist scholars like Hal Tausig, who I studied with at Union. You know, he's creating a new Testament that brings back those scriptures that included the women who were in positions of authority in the early church.
Well, and it really is about balancing. You know, to me, we have obviously gotten so far to the masculine. And to me, in order to truly heal, is about balancing the feminine and the masculine.
Yeah.
You know, and that it is definitely a shift that is taking place. I remember for myself, probably 25 years ago, hearing Marianne Williamson lead a prayer, and she said, "Mother, Father, God," and I'm like, "Yes,
I know.
Where have you been? Yes,
I know. It makes myself jump up and down.
Yeah, and to this day, I start my day. I start every day and end every night, you know, with Mother, Father, God, and throw in some type of prayer behind it or invocation for the day. And that to me is what has truly balanced me. And I feel that that is what is called for in our world, is that it is a balance. And something that I really love about your deck, you have 53 cards. I really thought, oh my God, I want to do one every day. But yet I found like I wanted to delve into each one and one day wasn't enough. And then it's not just about Christianity. You draw from the essence of the divine from all aspects of life.
Yes. Yes. And I wish I could have had, 108 cards or something tremendous, because it was so, so, so arduous to narrow it down. But what I did was I looked at the world's population of religions, and then I had the number of ladies represented within each of them, so that there is more Catholic and Christian represented, only because right now in the world that is the majority. But then I also have Islam and Hindu and Buddhist and a lot of traditions that are less known, Native American traditions, traditions that are a part of the Romani people, like St. Sarah Lacali, and then also the Sikh tradition, which has personally impacted me with the figure of Valerie Kaur, who I love deeply and whose activism has deeply inspired me. So I wanted to include as many voices, as many religions, races, cultures. I wanted it to be as diverse as possible, because the point of it was to say, to reflect that type of wholeness, that we are all God too. We are all also God.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I love that with each aspect of the divine, each card, you share a bit about the history of the feminine archetype, and then you share some insight of your own. And then you mention the soul voice meditation on each particular one and what the intention is. Can you share with us a bit about what the soul voice meditation is and why it's important that it was included in this deck?
So when I went on those pilgrimages, when I went to go experience what I felt like I was just reading about and encountering in scripture and, in these stories of these different lives of saints and gurus and mystics, what I encountered was this inexpressible, unconditional, like just beyond anything I could ever word, love, like this, this just love that was love that was love that was love. And it was an experience that changed me completely. And what I wanted was to be able to encounter that love without, having to become a pilgrim and be on some ancient, medieval pilgrimage, like on my knees in this cathedral. I wanted to be able to experience it every day, and whenever I need, within my ordinary everyday life, And so when I got back from that pilgrimage, I decided I needed my own personal practice. And that ended up coming in the form of the soul voice meditation, where I took my cue from the ancient Hesychasts, which were these monks, these desert fathers who would draw all of their consciousness and all of their attention into the heart, and then chant the Lord's Prayer within the heart. And so I wanted to take that, but apply it, first of all, to a woman's body, because these monks curled forward over their heart, and that, like, with breasts, like, it killed my back and my neck, and, like, you just can't really do it as a woman.
Right.
It just was not right. And, I couldn't isolate myself in a desert. I mean, I lived in New York City and I was a single mom. I just didn't have that kind of time, So I wanted to figure out, how can I apply the general idea of entering into my heart, creating, allowing the heart to be the cathedral that it actually is, my own inner temple or sanctuary. Like, how can I create this sacred space within me that no one else can disturb, no one else can enter, and that when I descend into it, I can encounter the answers that already exist within me, that I can enter into that love that walks around with me wherever I go, because I knew that love that I encountered on the pilgrimage wasn't love that I actually ever needed to go anywhere to find. It was love that had always existed within me and that is me. It's the truest expression of who I am. So the soul voice meditation was the daily practice and experience of getting to just take little sips of that unconditional love and that, you know, limitless light that I am. And what it is within the oracle is that each of these cards then gives a prompt. You know, so for me, having that practice, the soul voice meditation, it was like beginning one of the greatest love affairs of my life, mm-hmm. you know, realizing that like the first and most primary relationship that I have in this lifetime is with my own soul, with my yes. own truth, that with cultivating and, you know, being a gardener, you know, mm-hmm. tending to this love that's within me. And so the soul voice meditation questions are like icebreakers, you know, they're related to the wisdom that each one of those goddesses, saints, or gurus embodied in her lifetime. But there's something then that you can go inward and ask yourself. And so it's meant to cultivate that connection, because the more and more we go inward to ask our ultimate questions, the more we remember that we actually walk around with them, you know, that we actually contain this love that we keep projecting onto other people or other things, you know, this power we siphon away, the more we go inward and reclaim that connection, reclaim that power, reclaim that love that is already ours, the easier it gets, the more natural it becomes. So that when something happens in our life, or say we're in an argument, you know, with somebody that we love, it's like, instead of going into the ego and like, you know, completely falling apart and trying to wrestle with from that level, you just take even three breaths, go inward, connect to the heart, connect to your truth, and then come back up out again. That whole conversation is going to go in a completely different way just from that connection.
Yeah, I had that conversation with a client today. In fact, I've had that conversation with clients for the past week and a half, that it's really about pausing. And I had to learn that myself too, right? To really just pause and respond from that place of love, because we are our true love. You know, we are our true love. And you said you're a mom, and I'm sure that your child, do you have daughter?
I have a daughter's son. Yeah.
Son. Okay. Your son is in a beautiful place to be able to learn that, a bit of that in this lifetime, as opposed to how we were when we were young, you know, you walking out of a church trying to figure out what the heck is going on here. You know, this, we are at a time that we are providing so much more, a more clear picture for our children. And, you know, you talked about things changing, and it reminded me of how when they used to think the world was flat and now it's round, right?
Right.
So coming back to the place of love, you know, it used to be serving everybody else first, but no, it's really about loving who you are first. And the message that you give with each one of these divine feminine archetypes is truly bringing it back to that. It kind of reminded me when you were talking there for a minute of a first date. You're having a first date and falling in love with this, and then you have the opportunity to really fall in love with another one. And if you want to go further, you can go further. It's all there for you. You've done a magnificent job of presenting this and sharing your passion and your love of these women.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So thank you so much. We're kind of getting down to the wire here, Megan. We've only got about 3 minutes left. And I want to thank you for presenting it across the board. I know that, listeners, if you jump in and grab this deck, if you just visit Megan's website, meganwatterson.com, right, Megan?
Yep.
Yeah, and all of the information will be here on the Soulful Living page in Empower Radio. You're going to find that spark, and you're going to find a goddess that you can connect with that's going to help you reignite and reconnect with the divine feminine that is in all of us. So if you were to leave the listeners with something that they could take out into the day and empower themselves, reawaken their own sense of the divine feminine, what would that be?
I think you, you know, began by talking about what the divine feminine is and what it means to you. And for me, it's it as you said, it exists in men and women. It exists in all of us. It's just been an unconscious, unrealized, and really disembodied aspect of all of us. And to me, the essence of the divine feminine is letting love reach where it has never been before. And that is an aspect of the Mary Magdalene card, which is why she's on the cover. And so it really is a profound question and a profound experiment to just sort of ask yourself, where have I not allowed love to reach within me? Because that ends up being reflected in the people in the world around you. So that exercise, it doesn't just affect you. It affects everyone you'll then encounter. To love yourself fully allows you to more fully connect with everyone else.
I love that. Well, and I love on your Oracle page, you said, my intention is that this Oracle strengthens your capacity to hear your soul, that it reminds you of just how vast and varied the divine feminine has always been, and that it connects you with the fierce love that exists within you, as you just said, that it is you and that it can only ever expand.
Yes.
So I thank you. Thank you so much for being here with us today and sharing your love, your light, your passion with the world.
Thank you.